So we're in the story of the Tower of Babel, or Babel. Genesis chapter 11, which actually ends the first section of the book of Genesis. Y'all hear about the little girl who was at lunch with her mom and dad, and the check comes after a reasonably good meal, and the little girl turns to her dad and says, "Pop, what are you doing?" As he's figuring up the bill and adding 15% to the tab as a tip to the waitress, and dad says, "Well, I'm giving the waitress a tip of 15%." And she had just learned percentages that week in school, and she says, "Oh, that's nice." And then she thinks for a little bit as dad is putting the credit card away, and she says, "Dad, how come the waitress gets 15%, and God only gets 10?" Ouch. That's one of those times in which you turn to your daughter and say, "Shut up." Who invited you to lunch anyway? Right? Why does the waitress get 15% and God only gets 10? So we're in the story of the Tower of Babel this morning. Here's my question for you all. Are you all giving God what he deserves? Are you? Are you giving God what he deserves, or are you perhaps keeping some things from God that he deserves because, oh, I don't know, put it however you want to put it, you're after a legacy. Maybe you want to leave a legacy behind, so you're keeping some for yourself in order to provide a legacy. Maybe you're scared to death of what most human beings are scared of, and that is anonymity. Right? You're scared to death that when you pass from this earth, no one will have even known that you were here. Are you scared of being anonymous? Are you scared of just being in that mix of people and never recognized? Maybe although we don't like to use this word, maybe sometimes we're concerned with building some fame for ourselves. We want people to remember our names. We want people to connect our names with things that we have done, performances that we have given. We want to establish some kind of monument for ourselves so that we're not forgotten, so we don't merely remain anonymous and unknown. You trying to build a legacy for yourself? Are you giving time and money, effort and sweat and tears to making sure that you are known, recognized, and remembered for something? Trying to build a name for yourself? Those are the questions which the story of the Tower of Babel are asking. This lesson's not going to get any easier than these questions, so you may just want to leave now and head on down to the lunch restaurant, because everything that this chapter has to say to us is extremely uncomfortable and uninvited, which, of course, is a whole bunch of the Bible. Frequently when I read the Bible, I find myself saying, "God, I didn't ask for you to say that to me, and I really don't appreciate it." That's the entire point of chapter 11 of Genesis. Are you scared of anonymity? And are you seeking to build a name and a memory of yourselves? Notice that the chapter begins with a statement about the whole world. Now, the whole world, verse 1, had one language and a common speech. Well, that's not surprising, since all human beings came from Adam and Eve. We're not surprised to find that in chapter 11, everybody was speaking the same language. It's not odd. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Notice that this is exactly what they should have been doing. They should have been moving eastward. Because remember the words of the Lord back in Genesis chapter 1? Back in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26 and following, remember in verse 28, the blessing and the command. Chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." You can't fill the earth, right, if you're remaining sedentary. If you're just staying in one place, you're not going to fill, you're not going to expand out over the earth. So it's good what these people are doing. They're moving eastward. That's exactly what they should be doing. Look, just in case you might have forgotten, Moses wants you to hear it again in chapter 9. Right, so after the flood has receded, and after things have been renewed after the flood, chapter 9 of Genesis, then God blessed Noah and his sons. Sounds just like Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth." In other words, don't y'all be sedentary. Don't congregate in one place. You're responsible to fill the earth, to expand out over everything God has created. Fill the earth. Once at the original creation, chapter 1, verse 28, and then again after the renewal of creation in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God, through Moses, wants us to know that these people were obligated by their allegiance to God to fill the earth. So when we read in chapter 11, verse 2, as men moved eastward, that's good. That's what they should be doing. But look what the rest of the verse says. They found a plain in Shinar, and settled there. Uh-oh, big red flag. They weren't supposed to settle. They were to move out and fill the earth, but they decide to settle someplace. And look what happens when they settle. They said to each other, "Come on, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." Now that's an English translation. Let's bake bricks or let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Let me give you a literal translation here of the Hebrew. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Here's the actual literal translation. Let's brick bricks and burn them for burning. That's the literal translation. In other words, they want to make doggone sure, they want to pour themselves into, they want to intensify, they want to congregate, they want to give themselves to the task of baking bricks. The best our English can do is to add the word thoroughly, comprehensively, completely, with zest and with vigor, let's make some bricks. You see, that's what you do when you settle. When you settle, you bake bricks so you can build habitations for yourself. But notice what they give their efforts to. They used brick instead of stone and tar instead of mortar. Then they said, "Come on, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves." and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. In direct opposition to the will of God, which was to have them scattered over the face of the earth, which was to have them scattered over the face of the earth so they could fill it and obey His command, which came with His blessing, they've decided to settle in this plain of Shinar. And in the plain of Shinar, they decided to give themselves completely, ultimately, to the making of bricks so that they can build a temple, so that they can build a skyscraper that reaches into the heavens. Why? So that they can make a name for themselves. Oh, they're scared to death of being anonymous. They're scared to death of being unremembered. They're scared to death of just being one of the hoi polloi. They're scared to death of dressing like everybody else. They're scared to death of driving the cars that everybody else drives. They're scared to death of living in homes that look like they came from a cookie cutter. They're scared to death of having the same level of education that everybody else has. They're scared to death of talking like everybody else talks. They're scared to death of looking, sounding, appearing like everybody else does. They want to be remembered. When they leave a room, they want the memory of their presence in the room to follow them. When they enter a room, they want the room to stop and look and recognize. They're afraid of not being recognized, and they're scared to death of not being remembered. Use whatever term you want to: fame, legacy, but it's all the same. They want to make a name for themselves. These are the people who love to appear on television. These are the people who love to carry around pictures of themselves in their wallets and to pass them out to you. Don't you want to remember me? These are the people that are giving themselves to the baking of bricks for the purpose of leaving a memory, a legacy of not being forgotten. They gave themselves thoroughly to the baking of bricks, to the making of a tower that reached into the heavens, that they believed was so high, so monumental, so significant, so fabulous, that everything would eventually point to them. Anybody here an Eagles fan? All right, don't have to admit it. Pamela and I are. Understand, Don Henley's building a house here in Dallas. Don Henley wrote a terrific song as a cut on his newest album. Too Busy Being Fabulous. Talking about the culture in Hollywood. Right, too busy being fabulous. So busy being fabulous that you missed your kids growing up. You were so busy being fabulous that you forgot about your marriage. You were so busy being fabulous that you forgot about the social needs around you. You were so busy being fabulous that everything that had ultimate meaning in your life just crumbled. You all trying to be fabulous? You're trying to make a name for yourselves. You want to leave a legacy behind? That's what these people who decided to settle in the plain of Shinar have done. I'll give you another chance to leave. It's not going to get any better. Because if you're after building bigger barns, then this chapter is swinging a baseball bat at you. So notice what happens. And you have to appreciate the Hebrew here. I went through several classes of Hebrew at DTS, and I've got to admit, I think I got a B my first semester of Hebrew. But then my second semester of Hebrew, I had to take 2 years of it. My second semester of Hebrew, don't tell anybody this. All right, this is just between us here. Particularly, don't tell any of my students this. But my second semester of Hebrew, I got a D. But I had a great teacher my third and fourth semester of Hebrew, which helped to pull me back up. So Hebrew confuses me. I am not a great strong person in Hebrew, but when you look at the Hebrew of verse chapter 5, all of a sudden you appreciate all those intensive hours of labor that my Hebrew teacher made me endure, because the language here is just beautiful and it is making a point that stands out clearly in the Hebrew language. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. That's the way it reads in English. But the emphasis that the Hebrew is making here, remember this tower, the people in the plain of Shinar had built it so that it reached into the heavens. Oh, it was so high and mighty. It was so fabulous. It was so wonderful. They had devoted themselves to baking bricks so that this thing could shoot into the heavens. But the Hebrew here in verse 5 is lovely. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. Here's how the Hebrew presents that language. You say there's a tower down there? How many of you have to take your glasses off in order to read the lettering on a medicine bottle? Yeah. See? A magnifying glass. That's exactly the point of the Hebrew. Right? The human beings think this tower is so fabulous, it's so high, but God needs a magnifying glass to see it. That's all contained right there in that little verse that appears in your English text. But the Lord came down. He had to bend completely over. He had to stoop with a magnifying glass in order to see this thing that they thought was so fabulous, that they had given their lives to, that they had dedicated and devoted themselves to in order to make a name for themselves. And God couldn't even see the thing. It was so puny. They had thought that they had accomplished something, that they had gained something for themselves. They'd been on all the right television shows. They had gone to all the right parties. They purchased their clothes at all the right shops. They drove all the right vehicles. They knew all the right people. They went to all the right schools. Worked for all the right companies. Received letters of congratulations and notices from all the right places. But God didn't see any of it. Didn't amount to a hill of beans to God. They thought they were so fabulous. And they were so busy being fabulous. And they had given themselves completely to the building of these bricks, for the building of this tower. and God had to stoop down with a magnifying glass even to see this puny, ridiculous thing to which they had given their lives and their hearts. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. This isn't the Lord confessing that he's lost sovereignty. This isn't the Lord saying, oh my goodness, these people are now going to get completely out of control. This isn't God saying that he has become weak and that these people now have become powerful and mighty. This is God talking about what they think about themselves. They think that because they've built this tower, which I can't even see, that they've now come to the point where they think that they're going to be completely independent of anybody but themselves. That nothing is going to be too wonderful for them. It's so sad the way we let ourselves get into that kind of ridiculous positive thinking about ourselves, isn't it? Well, I accomplished that. What else can I do? Well, I did that, man. Let's go further. Boy, just look at what I'm able to accomplish. And I'm just on the road to fabulous. So look what the Lord does for the people's own benefit. That is why it was called Babel, right? But look at what happens in verse 8. It says in verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Which is where they were supposed to be in the first place, but they had decided to make a name for themselves. They had decided to become fabulous. They had decided to grope for fame, position, recognition, remembrance. And all that led to them forgetting what was really their lot in life, which was not to make their own name great, but instead to make the name of the God of the universe great. Noah knew that, right? Noah knew that. Look back with me in chapter 8. As soon as the flood was over and as soon as they had been relieved from the flood and the judgment of God, notice verse 20. It's the first thing that Noah does. Notice he doesn't build a city. Notice he doesn't build a tower. He doesn't seek to make his own name great. Right? Notice what Adam builds in verse 20 of chapter 8. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. See, Noah knew something that the people in the plain of Shinar had forgotten. And that is that there's only one name that needs to be built up. There's only one name that needs to be made fabulous. There's only one name that needs to be glorified. There's only one name that needs to be remembered. There's only one name that needs to be recognized. There's only one name to which we need to give all of our bricks and all of our tar to building up, and that is the name of the God, our Creator. That's it. Noah knew that. But the people in the plain of Shinar had forgotten it, and they decided instead of building an altar to build a temple, to build bigger barns, to build a name for themselves. So the Lord, in order to bless them, in order to keep them from falling into this sin into which human beings are going to fall again and again and again, in this case, He blesses them by scattering them throughout the whole world in order to keep themselves from falling into the fallacy of being fabulous. It's a blessing to be scattered. It is a blessing for us not to speak the same language. It is a blessing for us to have different dialects. It's a blessing for us to live in different places of the world because it limits the degree to which humanity can fall into this evilness of attempting to make their own name great. Remember, that's why Adam and Eve did what they did in the garden, because they thought that by doing so they would become like God. It was all a lust for fame. It was all a lust to be something that they weren't, the belief that God was holding something back from them and that they had to launch out and attain for themselves. And the only way they could attain it was by disobedience. But every time you accomplish something for yourselves which you think makes you fabulous, every time you accomplish something for yourself that you think builds up your name, every time that you accomplish something for yourself that you believe brings recognition to you, God says, He's got to bend down, He's got to stoop over in order to see that, because you're never as fabulous as you fancy yourself to be. And you're never as fabulous as others fancy yourself to be. And so in a blessing, God scattered them over the face of the earth in order to keep humanity from falling into that evil, because every intent of their heart was evil. You know, Jesus says something very similar in chapter 28 of the Gospel of Matthew. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go." Don't settle in the plain of Shinar. Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Don't just make disciples in the plain of Shinar. Go, leave the plain of Shinar. Move your sights beyond Dallas. Move your sights beyond your home. Move your sights beyond yourself and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice, don't make your own name great. Don't baptize them in your own name. But what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. This is the one that you are to be making wonderful. This is the one that you are to be making fabulous. The one who exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the only name with which you need to be concerned with building and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So what are you all giving your lives to? Whose name are you trying to make fabulous? Whose name are you attempting to lift up to the heavens? Noah got it right. Build altars, not towers. Build his name, not your own. Don't seek to be recognized when you enter the room, and don't seek to be remembered when you leave. Seek to make sure that his name is present in the room and is remembered when you leave. There's only one name you need to be aware of. In Hebrew, Elohim. In Greek, Theos. In English, God. And as Jesus teaches us in Matthew 28, the one true God who exists only as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, let's talk a little bit. What are the bricks that we get all excited with building? What are the towers that we want to raise to the heavens? What are some of those for us? Yeah. Absolutely.
Look at all the things that I'm doing. I'm fulfilling what I think I need to do. And I find myself looking at that thing. Really? You know, that is it. At the same time, we look at it and say, how do we deal with it? You know, how do we get the good works that I do really aren't costing anything, but if they feel good to me sometimes? And I sin, even though I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful that we have Romans 7.
Absolutely. But absolutely. Yeah. So I find that I even try to build a name for God by accomplishing things myself, right? So the more righteousness I can offer to God, the better God looks. The more ministry I have, the better God looks. So that ultimately what I'm doing is confusing building up God for actually building up myself. Yeah. Which is one of the greatest sins of people who are involved in full-time ministry. And, absolutely. Yeah. That is so true. And what you've just done, you've taken us even below the surface to the real heart of the issue, which is one of the themes of these chapters of Genesis, is that even though we don't want to recognize it, our character and our nature is such that every inclination of our heart struggles with being evil. That is so rich. Thank you very much. Yeah. You're not hearing. What he said, if I can explain him right, he said that one of the problems that we have is that sometimes we even fool ourselves into thinking that by what we're doing for God is sometimes viewed by us as us not actually doing something for ourselves. But even sometimes in serving God, we are corrupt in that, and that we are serving God in order to even to build ourselves up, so that we can wear a mask of serving God. But underneath that mask, we are even ultimately trying to do something for ourselves.
Then how do we get out of
I think, by what he emphasized, is by recognizing that by the Spirit of God and by the Spirit of God only in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8 are we freed from what we really are, and that is evil in every fabric of our nature. That we, in and of ourselves, can't ever do anything authentically pleasing to God, that it is by God's gift of working within us by His Spirit that we actually produce anything worthwhile. And what we frequently do is we offer what we think is wonderful to Him, which is really sometimes centered on nothing more than gaining recognition for ourselves. And I said that's one of the huge sins of professional ministers, is that ministry becomes a means of making themselves fabulous. They become fabulous in the name of ministry. And he came right back and said, yeah, that's true of ministers, but it's also true of the rest of us too. Yeah. Yes.
When we work with teenagers, one thing that I noticed,
don't ever do that, by the way. By heritage, yeah. And you're right, that's not limited to adolescents, but adults claim recognition on the same grounds. They claim recognition on the basis of their name.
Now, of course, for me, I'm allowed to because it's the only recognition.
Of course. Yeah, nothing we've said this morning has any application to you whatsoever. Yeah, everybody here recognizes that. Yeah, where everything goes to this side of the room. Absolutely. God is going to have His way. God is going to have His way. The pleasure and the privilege of His creatures is that we have the opportunity to live in His way rather than outside it. He's going to spread us throughout the earth. That's a given. The question is, will we be spread throughout the earth in obedience or as the result of disobedience? You all understand what she just said? God is going to have His way. None of you are going to thwart it. God is going to have His way. He always gets His way. The question is whether or not you're going to be a part of that because of your obedience, or whether He's going to have to discipline you and judge you. But what He wants is ultimately going to happen. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And He is going to make sure that that His glory is as great tomorrow as His glory was today. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let me pray for us. So, Father, you do not change, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we get it wrong so many times when we think that what we do and what we produce is something which actually is rated by you with the same degree that we or our societies rated. Would you strengthen us by the Spirit this week in everything we do and everything we say to be concerned with glorifying only one name, and that is yours and the Son's and the Spirit. We ask that you would wean us from our evil desire to have a name for ourselves, and that you would satisfy us by the Spirit with glorifying your name. We ask it through the Son and by the Spirit. Amen. Lunch. And should may I give thanks for lunch while we're all here together, or should we do that at the restaurant? Okay. Can I give thanks for the meal? So, Father, for this meal that we will participate in, thank you for these friends who will gather and for the food that you would provide. You are the Father of every good gift, and we recognize that the food that we will enjoy later today is ultimately from your hand. And for that gift and for the gift of your Son and your Spirit, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus.